Session number 27052.
Mr. Franklin, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about when you went to HMS Collingwood. That's a
Collingwood,
fair,
yeah. That's a fair in New Hampshire. Mm.
Now, what was your reception when you got there, or the journey and when you got there? You know, because you arrived...
Well, the journey, I had to go up to Romford. I walked from Navesock East to Stapford Abbots, Royal Oak, caught a bus. That took me through to Romford Station, boarded a train from Romford Station to the bank, from the bank to Liverpool, to Waterloo. And from Waterloo, caught a train through to Portsmouth Harbour Station. Left a train there, and I think we were met there. And were taken to Collingwood. But I don't know whether it was by lorry. I think it was by a lorry where we were taken there. I'm not sure.
What sort of reception did you get when you get there? You're arriving as a civilian.
Well, we got there, and when we walked into the barracks, you're all lined up. You're all in your civvie clothes. And they then put you into classes and tell you what hut you're going to. And I was allocated to FX 15Y, hut 33, I remember that.
Now, did they kit you out straight away, or what did they do?
We went the next day. First day we went in, and we were allocated our, as I say, our section, FX 15Y, then the hut. There was about 30 of us in the... I think it was 30 of us in the... that hut, which was a class, that was the class. I'm not sure whether FX 15Y was the class, hut 33. That
was
right.
Tell us what the hut was like then. What was the hut like? Can you describe it?
Oh, yes, it was a long hut with a combustion, with these old coke stoves in the centre to keep it warm. And there were about 15 iron beds either side, single iron beds. And each one had its blanket, blankets and sheets and everything there. And they were all folded, and you had to learn to make sure you refold them again for next morning for kit inspection. The next day, we went to what they called the slops. And there we were kitted out in uniform.
Now, what did you get kitted out with? Uniform and kit?
Yeah, we were kitted out with two uniforms. Two suits, two collars, two white fronts, a jersey, a blue jersey, shoes, socks, and a cap. And a cap tally, cap badge, a cap tally rather, which we had to learn to tie a bow onto the hat, which we found quite awkward for a while. Found that quite But eventually, each one helped each other until we all got our bows as we wanted them.
And did the uniform fit?
Mine fitted fairly well, yeah. I'm surprised, you know, because I'm very small. One of the shortest, I should imagine, in the whole class. We had quite a few London lads there, and Welsh. We had Welshmen, London, chaps from London, some from Romford, which I didn't know, and others all around Essex. But it was a complete mixed class of all different towns and villages. You know, there wasn't no... and countries, really. I mean, we had a Welshman there and some Scotchmen, some Scotch lads. They were all quite young. They were all in their 17, 18 years old, you know. Some had been called up. There was one or two older ones. I remember one who tried everything in the book to try to work his ticket out. And in actual fact, I got into a squabble with him one day because I told him I was fed up with his moaning. But I could understand afterwards, as one gets older, you understand these things, that he had a family. He was a married man with a family. And of course, he didn't want to go to war.
Now, if we look at a typical day's training, I know it picks up a lot of the things. What time would your day start?
Your day would start at 7:30, where you could shower, and then you went to breakfast. You had breakfast.
Now, tell us about the food. Well, generally through the day.
The food was like? quite good. You could either, you know, you'd have porridge and you had different things. I can't remember exactly what the food was. I remember more of the ship's food than what I had in barracks. But it was quite just ordinary, mundane.
Did you get enough of it?
Oh, yes. We always had, there's always plenty to eat. Yeah, we were never short of food.
And at lunch you'd have, I mean, you don't remember very well, but you had enough for lunch and
yes, we had enough, food. Yeah, we always had enough food. In actual fact, I think I put on weight very quickly.
What would you do after lunch, after breakfast?
After breakfast, you went on to divisions. You're on the parade ground then. And you were taken over, you had a, what you call it? In our case, we had a leading seaman who was our class leader. Not class leader, he was the trainer, for a better word. Instructor. I forget what they actually called him. Instructor, rather. That's right. That's
now, what about, how did you take to drill on the parade ground? You hadn't done any before, had you?
No, but, you know, you had these bands playing. You had the band playing, like a Star Spangled Banner and Hearts of Oak and all that, and that gave you some sort of momentum, and you marched around. I got told off of being round shoulders, so I had to do a few doubles round the parade ground with a rifle stuck through my arms to straighten me back up. You see, I suppose working on the farm, you were always, you know, you were too relaxed sometimes. So to straighten my back up, I remember the instructor called me out one day and he said, I know how to straighten your back. And I had my arms up, he shoved the rifle through me, across my back, and I had to carry a rifle and put a double round there. And I got that for two or three days. Eventually, so as not to have the rifle, I used to keep me back up, straighten me back. But that was, used to be a bit off-putting at the time, but one realises it's all part and parcel of keep you fit, I suppose.
Did you understand the point of drill then? I mean, why you had to do so much of it?
Oh, yeah, I think I did. I thought it was to, I thought, well, you know, this is all part of it. It's training, and you accept it as training. You're being trained to do something. We also had to climb this rigging, and we used to have to go up. We had a rigging on the playground, which was quite high. And it's quite dangerous, really, because it was
the masthead. The masthead.
No, it was a rigging. It was in the shape of a tent, angled up, and it was long, quite long. And there used to be about eight of you having to go up here at a time, one after the other.
How high? About?
And you had to climb up over the top and down the other side through these, like, it's more like a big net. Only they were about 8-inch, 12-inch square, 8-inch squares, I should imagine. And that
How
was
high?
A,
How high would you go? About
14, 15 feet high.
Maybe. Oh, so not high at all.
Not very high. About as no, a bit higher than the roof of this, I suppose. I don't know how high this is. Only about 8. Yeah, about 14, 15 foot high. But of course, you had to go over there quickly. You couldn't hang about. They hustled you over there.
Was this as part of an assault course, or?
It was like an assault course, but this was one of the things we always had to do at the end of the parade. We all had to go over this rigging up and over the other side and down.
What other PT or physical training did
you have? Oh, we went into gym. We had a superb gymnasium, which had parallel bars, ropes, side bars, horses that you have to bolt. You used to have to go and do those, roll over them, straight over the top, or land on your feet. Some of us didn't land on our backs, it was a bit painful. They also had boxing. They'd always put it in. They only put me in the ring once, so I told them I wasn't going in there again. Because they put a bigger bloke in and give me a hell of a punch, and that was the end of it. I got out quickly. I just said, I'm not going in there anymore, that's it. I don't care what you do. You can put me on a charge if you like, but I'm not having bigger blokes stop me about.
And were you doing cross-country runs or
No, we used to run around the parade ground. We used to have to go round the parade ground. Eventually it broke from a keen running to what we used to call eventually, as time went on, as a janker shuffle. You used to shuffle along, you know, very as slowly as you possibly could, make the time run out. So, but And then we went on, we were on rifle ranges.
Tell us about that. Did they taught you to shoot then?
Yeah, oh yeah, we taught us 303 rifles. I found they had a bit of a kick to them. But I was quite good. I used to be able to knock. They used to put tin cans at a distance, I suppose 50 yards. And if you slid a bullet underneath them, if you were accurate enough, the can used to jump into the air. They used to put these bean cans or something, and you could slide a bullet under them, and they would jump in the air quite high. You'd have to be pretty accurate to do it. And I used to do it quite easily, actually. I was a good shot. I've also taught my son and grandson how to shoot.
What do you think made you a good shot? What was it, steadiness, eyesight, what was it?
I think that being a good shot, it's a lot to do with knowing what you're doing with the sights on the gun, making sure you've got that sight level with the top of your V. If you've got it a little above you were high, a little below you were low, so you had to get that top quite level with the V in your back sight, get your foresight, and if you got that right and held your breath as you pulled, you always took a pull, they taught you to take your first pull, which takes up the slack on the trigger, and then the second pull, which fired it. And also, you had to hold the rifle very steady, strong, hard. I mean, you had to really pull it into your shoulder. I had a bit of a problem at the beginning. They couldn't understand until I had to explain that I'm left-handed. they never ever asked me whether I was right or left-handed. They said, I couldn't understand, but I was left-handed. And, of course, I was fire left-handed.
Did they let you fire left-handed, though, in the end?
Oh, they did allow me to, yeah, yeah.
Now, what other training did you get at Collingwood? You know, sessions you might
Oh, have we had. Went, we had training of all parts of the ship, the cable, anchors, the washing down of decks, how decks had to run, and the, what's it called, bosun's whistle, got one there. Bosun's whistle, how to use a bosun's whistle.
Were these lectures or practical lessons?
Well, practical and lectures. We had lectures been practical. We had the lecture and then we'd go practical after that. And they also had a ship as part of the model of a ship with all the cleats and capstans and all that sort of thing and explained how they all worked. And we also had to do knots, tie different knots, sheep shanks, cloviches, and all the other knots that
one has to do. How far would you go into knots and splices? Would you do, you know, how far would you actually get into that?
What do you mean by?
I mean, how detailed would you go? I mean, you know, there's hundreds of them.
Oh, they've got all the knots there, but you were taught and you had to tie them, and then they would come round. Like being in a class. Yeah, we were taught to splice ropes together, you know, and tie, also how to make monkey fists and...
What are they?
They were what you put on the end of a heaving line, which you heaved across to another ship, and then they pulled the hawser across afterwards.
What about splicing wire? That's more difficult, but did you do it?
Yes, you did that. You had a... Oh, when you were issued with your uniform, you issued with a knife. Which was had a spike on it, which turned, you know, you used to splice wire. Yeah, we were taught to do all that. We were taught.
What about things like points of the compass? Was it? Were you still?
Oh yes, yeah, so we were taught compass points.
How much detail did they go to? Because they used to make you do it backwards and forwards and all the rest of it.
If you were good, taught all of the compass points, which I found quite. Difficulty at first to go through, but...
What was difficult? I mean, you just couldn't remember them all.
Well, that was it, remembering the actual compass points. When you had the compass in front of you, it was easy, but once it was taken away and they asked you to... But you do know, I mean, you learned that was dead ahead, that was 45 degrees, that was 75, that's 90, and so on. So eventually it registered.
So but, you were learning that more than north, south, and you know whatever it is.
Oh no, you would talk more. You would talk the four directions, north, east, south, and west. But you were mostly taught of the angles, 45, Fish. The thing was that when you went on board, you were as a lookout. If you were on as a lookout,
we'll come to that. Then we've got that.
That's later on.
Now, what about? Did you do any rowing? Seamanship.
Yes, we used to go down to Portsmouth Harbour and take out a weller, a row, which being very small, very light and very short, I found jolly hard work. We used to have these big wellers, which were they carvel built? I think they were called carvel built. They were the ones that made wood, the carvel built wellers. They were quite big things. There were about 8 or 10 of us, I think, in a boat. And you'd row around Portsmouth Harbour. And that was jolly hard work with those oars. Those oars were really heavy. Well, they served to me, very heavy. I mean, even a rifle, a 303 rifle to me, was seemed to weigh up a ton.
Did you get blisters? I mean, how much damage did you do to your hands?
No, I don't think so. I think some of them must have done, you know, who probably hadn't done the sort of work I'd been doing.
You'd been a farm labourer.
I'd been using pitchforks and that, so the hands were harder. I should imagine someone who'd been pushing a pen probably found it even harder.
Anything else to do with seamanship you did at Collingwood?
Let me see, we were climbing knots. We went through rifle training, knots. Physical training to keep us fit.
So we've done all that.
Running around. Just taught general seamanship, really.
Did you do any signalling or Morse?
No, that was left to. That was a different branch of the Navy. They were the telegraphists, as they called them.
But you didn't do any. What about gunnery? Any gunnery?
Gunnery. I didn't do that till after I left for Nelson, actually.
So anything else, any training that you can remember at Collingwood at all? There's nothing else?
No, it was nearly all seamanship for the seamen who were training as seamen.
Now, what about preparing your kit for kit inspections? How much bull was there about how you had to do
it? Oh, plenty of it. I mean, you had to have your toes of our shoes, had to see your face in them, in our boots. We didn't have shoes, we had boots. And they also had, at the beginning, we had these long gaiters. We didn't have the short gaiters. We had the gaiters that went up almost to the knee. And they had to be blankoed.
Can you explain what blanco is? Because people don't know now.
Blanco is like a brown. It's, you know what one whitens one's shoes with? It's that, only brown. It's a, well, I say brown. It's a greeny brown. Army colour. What do you call that colour now? Khaki. Khaki, I beg your pardon, khaki. And it's a kind of, you get a tin of it and you get a wet cloth and you push it, faste it on your gaiters and your boots. They were inspected.
It was just on your gaiters?
On your gaiters, yeah, and a belt.
So how did you get this shine on your boots then? Was there any secret?
Yes, we used to use a teaspoon and get that and put the polish on and rub it hard with a teaspoon and you would get that so as you could see your face in them. There's a guy once said to me, and they're going to trouble, he said, "I want to see your face in them." I said, "Who wants to see your face? Who wants to see your face in my boots?" But you had to keep them so shiny, and it really did. And it used to be competitive amongst the lads to see who get their boots the shiniest, you know. Bit crazy, really, I suppose, but it did. That was clever in the instructor's way. He used to make it into a competition, see, and he'd say, "Cool, look, if you could only get yours as bright as his," and it used to build up a competition, which made the training more interesting. It became competitive type, see.
Did you, and what about laying your kit out? Did you have to lay it out on your bed, or?
Oh, yes, it all had to be laid out. The blankets had to be folded in a certain way, and that to be stacked. You had three. They had to be stacked perfect. And if they weren't, you had to take them all to bits and start doing it all over again, you know. Your locker had to be in absolute perfect condition. Everything in there had to be in its right place. A lot of ball, really, but it was all necessary as discipline. It was all part of the discipline, you know, to do these things.
How did you take to the discipline?
I took to it very well, because they found that people who worked on the farm were the best sailors of all, because they were receptive of instructions more than other chaps that came in. Because on the farm you just followed instructions, so you followed, when you went into the Navy or in the services, you did exactly the same thing. You just did as you were told, otherwise you would get the sack, like on the farm. That's when one worked on the farm.
And that's what you did? You did what you were told?
You just carried on. I found that if you did what you were told, you didn't get into trouble. If you didn't, you were in trouble. So you just keep out of trouble, you did as you were told.
Now, how did you get on with the instructors? What did you think of the instructors?
I thought they were quite good. Sometimes they tried to pull a rank in the sense that they'd been in longer than us and had a badge on their arm, you know, but one didn't resent that. We thought, we looked up to them a bit, thinking, well, they have been in longer, they've seen a little bit of sea time, and they probably knew more than we did, so it was best to listen to them and their instructions.
Do you think they did know more? I mean, did they know their stuff, really know their stuff, or were they just a few pages ahead of you? You know, I mean, what do you think?
Did we know that?
Did they know their stuff? I mean, did they really know it?
Most of them knew their seamanship, I found. Well, our instructors seemed to, and a lot of the other instructors, seeing what the lads did once they got on board ship, I think they did know what they were doing. Probably you don't realise at the time when you're doing it that they are as good as they are.
Now, how did you get on with the other recruits? You said we talked about where they all came from. What were they like as a bunch of lads?
Sometimes you'd have little bits of friction between different ones or the other. Like I said myself, when this bloke kept moaning, I one day said to him, oh, you know, why don't you go away or something, and upset him. But apart from that, most of us got on quite well together, you know. Unless someone didn't wash himself often enough, and then we'd put him in a bath and threaten to scrub him down with a yard broom or something like that, you know. Those sort of things used to happen, and this 4 or 5 year cart this poor bloke off and throw him in a bath of water. A bit of bullying sometimes, you know, would
what
go on.
What type of bullying?
Good-humoured bullying it was. It wasn't malicious bullying. It was more good-humoured bullying. And
In what way? What sort of good? I mean, you know, bullying's always a dodgy thing.
It is an area, isn't it? There wasn't not the verbal bullying, but there was sometimes there would be, as I say, if someone didn't wash off enough, they would have a go at him. Because we were told when we joined, that's one of the things you were told, that cleanliness was next to godliness, not the other way around. Because when you get aboard ship, you've got 125 men all stacked together in a very small space. If you weren't clean, then you could have problems. So you had to make sure that everyone kept very clean.
Did you make any special pals?
Any?
Special pals while you were there, or just got
No, not until after I got aboard ship. That's when you started to make oppos, as we called them.
What about in the evening at Collingwood? What would you do in the evening?
Oh, we had cinema.
What, on the camp or in Fair?
In the camp, they had their own cinema.
What was it like?
Quite good. We used to go in there in the evening, it was quite good. We also had the Naffy canteen, where you could go and have a drink, buy extra food if you wanted it, if you had the money.
When you say drink, do you mean alcohol? Or
oh, they could get alcohol in the canteen, yes.
With you, though, because you'd be 17.
I was underage, so I had to watch what I was doing, otherwise you'd be in trouble. I wasn't allowed to smoke, even though I was over 16. But I didn't smoke, so it didn't matter.
And did you get a pint or two or in the canteen?
I did have some beer, tasted some beer, but at that time I wasn't all that interested in it, you know, I wasn't keen on it.
So the cinema was the main thing for you. What else would you do in the night? You
know, we had cinema. We also had to go for different things like eye tests, and I thought there was the most funniest thing once, I don't know if you're interested in that happened to me.
While you were there, yes?
Yeah, I went into this eye testing room and walked in, and it was pitch dark. And I sat on this chair, which was in the middle of a room, and they said, now give us the numbers as they come up on the wall. And it was a square would come up in red numbers. Anyway, first number, can't see a thing, sir. Second number, can't see a thing, sir. And they switched the light on. You know what I was doing? Sitting with me back to them. I'd sat down the wrong chair. I did pass the eye test eventually because I got in the right chair eventually. I sat in the wrong chair. It was unbelievable.
Now, anything else happened while you were at Collingwood? You were there till from December 43 mm-hmm. to March 44, according to your papers we've got
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Anything well, else you remember?
Well, we also had to do perimeter guard after...
Tell us about that then.
Yeah, we used to have to go around the whole perimeter. You'd carry a rifle and you were taught to what halt, who goes there, friend or foe. You only do challenge three times before you did anything. Unless they answered friend, then you would either shoot them or something, you know. It never happened, but that was what you had to do. And you did the whole perimeter of the camp.
Walking around on your
walk
own.
Walk around with a rifle on your own, doing perimeter guard. And as a young, when you're only 17, it was a bit off-putting sometimes. You're a bit nervous at night, you know, when it's a bit dark. It's like, well, no one ever tried to get in while I was there, or get out. I was all right. You were just as much, you had to stop people from getting in as much as getting out as getting in. So they didn't abscond, you know. Abscond, that's a better word. We used to also go on route marches.
Tell us about the route marches.
We used to go from the barracks, from Collingwood, march right the way down to Fareham, the town itself, and march back again, which was sometimes 2 or 3 miles march in groups down there. We used to do route marches.
What would the local population think? I mean, would they
acknowledge you? No, they didn't. You said they'd seen it so often that I don't think it's just a matter of a crowd of young lads wandering through in uniform, wandering back again. I used to go down to Fareham, down the town when we could. We weren't allowed leave at all till after training. We didn't get any leave during training.
Now, was there any tests at the end of your training? Or?
Yes, we had tests. We had tests. I think I came about fourth. If you came first or second, you were put up for a CW candidate, which was commission worthy. And I know two of ours were put through. I think I was just outside the only thing that let me down was I was never very good at arithmetic. Got much better at it as years went on. But I wasn't very good. And I just, the questions, because we did ordinary class, sort of thing. In the exam, there were quite a few questions on percentages, you know, and fractions and that sort of thing. I was never very good at that at one time. I was all right at LCMs and that sort of thing, lowest common multiples that we were taught at school, but we weren't very taught a lot of fractions at school.
What other testing did you have? I mean, you know, was it testing everything or just...
Oh, yeah, you were tested on compass points. You were tested on knots. Quite a few things. I can't remember them all. But...
And did you have to choose what you were going to go into or were you told what you were going to go into?
No, you were more or less given a choice. You would either go in as a seaman, a signalman, there was something else, but I know the signalman always went into foretop, I believe. We were in forecastle, foretop, and then we had forecastle, foretop, maintop, port, starboard watches, all that sort of thing.
They're all seamen, aren't they? They're all seamen divisions.
Yeah, all seamen divisions. I think main top were normally mostly signalmen. But
but seamen was what you were going to be?
A seaman, yeah.